tonight. It's going to be different because I'm going to be stuck right here behind this miniature podium because I'm going to need my laptop tonight. Tonight is going to be more of a workshop and type of thing rather than a here's your 3 points, here's your take home. Because as Michael talked about this morning, as we've been dealing with our theme of going to church, and this idea that when you walk into the doors of a church, it depends on what doors you walk in, whether it's got the Church of Christ on the sign or it's got some other church, people call the person that is standing behind this thing different things, flat out. Now, you'll know that normally I stand right here, so therefore that's different to begin with. But the idea is that what do you call the person who is standing up there doing the teaching, the preaching, all of those things, right? Most commonly, in, quote, churches of Christ, you have the preacher. Well, that's not the only term that you hear. I want you to think of maybe some other terms that you have heard be called for the preacher, or in this case, in this place, the preachers, right? Another word is an evangelist. Michael might describe himself as an evangelist. Well, what do you do? I'm an evangelist, right? Or I might describe myself in that way. Or another, they might be called a pastor. Someone may say the preacher is the pastor, or the preachers are the pastors. And so that is a term that people will use for the person that gets up and they teach on a regular basis, that they are the pastor or the pastors of the church. Or you might have the minister. The minister is the one that gets up. Or you might have the youth minister or the associate minister. You might hear from time to time about the people that are doing all of these different things. These are just things that are people used to refer to the person that stands up here on a regular basis. Or you might have someone that calls a reverend. Now, that doesn't happen as often in the churches of Christ, but that happens just about every time that I'm on a golf course or I'm somewhere and someone asks me what I do and I tell them I'm a preacher, they immediately start calling me reverend. And it's striking to me that that is the first thing that oftentimes comes out of the mouth when they hear that, this term reverend. And you'll even see it on some churches' signs that reverend so-and-so, and the one that always pops in my mind is the First Baptist Church in Atlanta, is Reverend Andy Stanley. And I, like, drove by it, Charles Stanley, drove by it all the time. It's big. You drive in East Orange. I'm thinking about Aaliyah's uncle, the funeral for her uncle. That church, when you walked in, you had the face of the reverend, and he was his church. And it was on the sign outside. It was inside. There was no mistaking who was running that show. And that was an interesting thing to me. And again, all of these different terms are used. But what we're going to see as Michael and I argue in 2 weeks about the role of the preachers and the elders is that oftentimes people are confused, even among Christians and brethren, about what a preacher is, about what an evangelist is, about what a minister or a reverend or a pastor is. And in order for our debate to make any sense and not be too much, we have to lay this groundwork of reminder before we get into that type of thing, because it is a very important thing. So what we're going to do tonight is I'm just going to examine these 5 terms. There are other terms. A missionary might come to your mind of someone who is preaching in a foreign place. And so Michael technically might be a missionary. I might be a missionary, right? Because both being from Alabama, here we are. New Jersey is a foreign place. But, you know, that's neither here nor there, and I'm not going to deal with that particular term. But, you know, there are different things. So what we're going to do is I want to see, of these 5 terms that are so regularly used, how many of them are used in the Bible as referring to what we think of as the person who is up preaching and teaching, right? So let's just start with what we use here most commonly, the preacher. Show of hands, who thinks that the preacher is an acceptable biblical term for what Michael and myself do? We got a pretty good number on that, then we got some that don't. So let's just take a gander here. So we're going to open up our nice little blue letter Bible. And all of you can download the app on your cell phone. All of you can go to blueletterbible.com and you can do this on your very own at home. It's one of those things that you can do exactly what I'm about to do right here and say, is that even you? So you can put in there and you can search the English word preacher, or you can go to a verse in which you know the phrase preacher is used and back that up. So I start with that. So as you can see here, I got a word that I cannot pronounce. Michael could very well pronounce it, but you know who can pronounce this word? Blue Letter Bible. So you push this little button, and of course you're not going to be able to hear it. But if you got your little headphones at home, it may be trying to pull out of there and I just can't hear it. It would tell you how to pronounce the word, to which I am not going to pronounce it, right? But if you spoke Greek, this would be what the word would sound like. You can do all of that, right? And you'll notice that you've got a root word. And it comes from the root word of preach, publish, proclaim, preached, preacher. Okay, so this word is rooted in the idea of preach. Okay, so you just go down. What do they say about this one? So the writers of this particular website and others, they describe it this way for this word, this Greek word. A herald or a messenger with public authority who conveyed the official messages of kings, magistrates, princes, military commanders, or who gave public summons or demand and performed various other duties. I want you just to stop there for a second. It's like the guy that you picture in like the Greek mythology and the Roman mythology that comes out with his horn. It's like, and everyone needs to gather and they need to come together. And here's the message that the king says. The king says, at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, all of you need to shut your doors, stay inside until 8 a.m. And you can't come out. That's the official message. The one who was and giving the message was the preacher. That was the proclaimer, the herald. So it's pretty simple of what his job was, isn't it? His job was give the official's message. Well, lo and behold, isn't that kind of what the preacher does? The preacher is not giving his message. And oftentimes I get comments, oh, appreciated your message today. I understand what people are saying by that. But that's not my job. My job is to not come up with something all nice and cool and everything. My job is to give the message of the king, Jesus. And if I do that, then great lesson you gave today, right? We needed that. It's not my message. I'm just the one trying to give the king's message, the Lord's message. So you'll see that this term is only used 3 times in the New Testament. And so you can see a lot of different usage of this particular thing, but the military. But you can notice then that they say that it's God's ambassador. Now, an ambassador is a word that we use really only in the political system. And we think of an ambassador as someone who is sent on behalf of another. And they represent the other person. So if I'm an ambassador to Britain for the U.S., I am there speaking on behalf of the U.S. Well, there is some sense to that, but that's how they throw this in. But you'll notice that this phrase is used just a few times. So in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, Paul says to Timothy, he says, "For this I was appointed a herald, a preacher, and an apostle." I'm telling you the truth, I'm not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. You got piled up words here. You've got preacher, apostle, teacher. Well, aren't those the same? They're not the same. An apostle often was a preacher, but not every preacher is an apostle. And the apostles often taught, but not all are in this sense. And so you've got all these different kind of terms that are going on. But Paul says, I was appointed this. This was a job that was given to me, to be the herald. You can go back to Acts 9, where he is converted and the Lord tells him, you're going to go to the Gentiles. You're going to bear my name to the kings, to the Gentiles, and I must show you how much you must suffer. He was going to proclaim the king's message in all of these places. And he says to Timothy again in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy when he writes, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. He uses those very same things again, but the preacher is different than the apostle and the teacher. And then secondly, you have there in 2 Peter chapter 2, and some of your translations will translate it this way. They won't use the term preacher for Noah. But some of your translations, I think the ESV in particular, and maybe a couple of the others said, and then he did not spare the ancient world, that is God, but he preserved Noah, and you'll notice there's a little footnote here, a herald of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness. Well, what in the world does that mean? It's just from our word preach. It is the person who is preaching. It is the person who is proclaiming. That's all that a preacher is, right? And so what Michael and I do, we're preachers. But you know what? Somebody else gets up and they preach. Are they a preacher? They are for that day, aren't they? But maybe not their job title, if you want to use it that way, is to be a preacher. But by this most strict sense of the thing, when we have men stand up here on the fifth Sunday, guess what they are that day? They are a preacher, as biblically said, right? Because they are the ones preaching from God's message. So do we see that preacher is a term that is used in the Bible? Now, you can go back to this word, and I'm not going to spend all day and every day on this one. But you can go back to this root word, and let's just make a little quick little search here of this root word. You can notice here that it means to be a herald or an officiant of all these different things. So John the Baptist, he went about preaching. So you can see this, how most of your translations say it. He went about preaching in the wilderness. Jesus began to preach in the wilderness. You can just keep going and going. So then take a look at, say, Mark 16. And they went out and they preached everywhere. So everyone who went out and preached everywhere, guess what they were in the noun form? They were preachers, okay? That's all that it means. So when you think about a preacher, don't necessarily think about the one that's here every single Sunday. Think about it, what the role is. The role is to give the message of the king. So whoever is standing there, so obviously Michael on most Sundays and myself, we're the preachers, right? So you can go back now to our little slide. So we can see that preacher is okay. We're good with preacher. What about an evangelist? That's the next common term. Oh, I should have asked the show of hands. What do we think about evangelist here? I got some yes. A little less confident on that, but I got some yes. I like this. All right. So here's our word. Evangelize. Again, we got a little root word, and we can do our little pronunciation, to which I'm not going to focus on, but we got our little root word here, right? And you can see our root word is to preach. Preach the gospel. Bring good tidings. To show glad tidings. Bring glad tidings. Declare glad tidings. Does that sound like anything to anybody? Does anybody know our word for good news, good tidings, glad tidings? Gospel, right? That's our word. So we could go right to that. And what you're going to find is that it's just the person who gives the gospel. It is and to use Michael's term, a gospelizer. They are just out there spreading the good news of the gospel. So looky there what they say it is. It is a bringer of good tidings, an evangelist. The name of the New Testament, notice this, heralds of salvation through Christ, who are not apostles. You see how even these people that have maybe different beliefs, when it comes to the word, they're saying these people are just heralds. They're just the ones who are proclaiming the message. And so you'll see that this word is used a few more times, but not much. In Acts 21 and verse 8, Philip, who was one of the seven men who was chosen in Acts chapter 6, right, along with Stephen and Niger and several of the others, that were chosen there to wait on the tables while the apostles continued in prayer and teaching and all those things, that when Paul comes back to Jerusalem with the gift from the Gentiles to give to the saints in Jerusalem, he first stays at Philip the Evangelist's house. There's kind of a title of that sense, is that Philip is not said to be the prophet, Philip, but the evangelist. Not Apostle Paul, not Apostle Philip, not Deacon Philip, but rather Philip the gospelizer, Philip the herald of glad tidings. And you would see that that is what he was doing. So you could see him back in Acts 8 going about preaching the gospel throughout the regions of Samaria, to the point where they believed the word greatly in Samaria. But then where you have the word is from where Ed read for us in Ephesians chapter 4, is that he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Again, there's our word that God definitely gave evangelists as a job in the church until we all maintain the unity, or we maintain the unity and we reach the full stature in Christ. Like, this was a group that was given, the people who would bring the glad tidings about. That is that. And then Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and his final words to him in that final letter is, "But you, Timothy, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." You see how that's more of the title than the preacher. You don't really see that phrase used and Paul the preacher or Stephen the preacher. You see that the one who's preaching is called a preacher, but the title, if you want to use the title sense, is more of the evangelist. Philip the evangelist. Timothy, fulfill this, do the work, the job of an evangelist. So again, what is the job of an evangelist? Bring the good news of Jesus Christ. That's that, right? So we're good on evangelist, okay? Now, let's go back to a couple of our other terms here. Let's go back to our slide. So, pastors are mentioned there in Ephesians chapter 4. Do we want to do a hand on, do we think pastor is a term that is used of preachers? Okay, I got some, so let's take a look. Let's check out pastor here. So we got pastor. Of course it slows down on me. Well, it's got an uncertain affinity. So guess what? It doesn't come from a root word. So that means it kind of in itself is its own thing. So what is that thing in which it is? Well, it is a herdsman. It's a shepherd. And so it's used of that way. And then notice how they go on to say it is the presiding officer, manager, director of any assembly, so of Christ, the head of the church. Well, that doesn't sound like a preacher, does it? Or overseers of the Christian assemblies, of kings and princes. So what you have are overseers, the one who is watching over. Well, when we go to our biblical usage of the word, what you're going to see is it's often just strictly a shepherd is the way in which it's translated. You can see that over and over. Mark 6, just a shepherd, a shepherd. Luke 2, the shepherds that Michael referenced this morning, a shepherd. But notice in Ephesians 4, verse 11, that an evangelist and a shepherd are two different things. You'll notice that an evangelist is not a shepherd, not a pastor. That's our phrase there. Pastor is our word shepherd. They're different. Just like an evangelist is not necessarily an apostle is not necessarily a pastor. For instance, Paul. Was Paul a pastor? Was he an overseer of any local church? He was not. But you know what apostle was? Peter. 1 Peter 5 says, "I, a fellow elder," right? And so Michael's going to talk more about this term next week But you'll just notice from Ephesians 4 and verse 11, they're not the same. That doesn't mean that they are that one who is an evangelist or a preacher cannot be a pastor. That's not what that text is saying. But what it is saying is that they are one and the same, different. Although a person may have multiple roles, they may have multiple jobs, where an evangelist could be one of the pastors, but he will never be the pastor. So Michael is called this pretty frequently. He's the pastor of this church. He's not the pastor of this church. Wes, are you a pastor? Not a pastor. That's not us. Because if we want to look at those things, the group that's often called the pastors, as you will see, and you can flip to this one, right? So you got several things. Go to Acts chapter 20, and I'll put it up here on the board as well. Go to Acts chapter 20. And this is when Paul calls the Ephesian elders together himself. So it's at the end and it's on the way to Philip the Evangelist's house. Now, just to throw that out there. He's passing by and he goes and he brings them into him. Now, you'll notice here in verse 17 of Acts chapter 20 that from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and he called to him the elders of the church. And Michael is going to talk more about that next week. So I'm not going to get into that. But I want you to flip down as he is talking to them what he says about these people. Notice verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Notice he's not talking to the evangelist at Ephesus. He is talking to the shepherds, the elders, the pastors at Ephesus. So when people say the one up here preaching is the pastor, no, not in this location. Maybe in other churches like at Embry Hills, where there are four or five different elders who get up and preach on a regular basis, they would say one of those is the pastor or the shepherd, one of the shepherds. But no one uses the term that way, do they? We use the term as the pastor as the big dog, as the one who runs the thing. And that's not what we see of the preachers of God's word. Does that make sense? So when we go back to our terms that are often used, you know what one we can remove from the board? Pastor. Pastor is not a term that is used in the Bible for the ones who stand up here and preach the good news. Okay? So what about minister? Hand up, down on that one. Yeah, we feel pretty. I got some hands. I kind of like that. Yeah, I kind of like that. I'm in it, but I'm not sure about that one. I like that. So minister is a little more difficult. Evangelist is easy. Preacher is easy. Pastor is pretty easy. Minister is slightly more difficult because it is a much more generic word. It is literally, and you can see this, again, we got root words, so you like how I keep pointing this out, we got root words, I'm sure Michael knows more about that than I do, is it someone who is under, someone who is with, and our word here is to rope, which is interesting to me, because apparently it comes from the idea of someone who is on a boat who is being told to rope, and I'm like, okay, but that just doesn't say anything to me. But back in the day, that was the image that came along with a minister, or oftentimes the word is translated servant. It's oftentimes not even translated minister. And so you can see that in the biblical usage, it's off to the side. Oh, yeah, there we go. Has it been off to the side the whole night? Okay, good. So I was about to say, I was expecting someone to say something to me. Anyway, you see the very first thing as they describe it biblically is a servant. And you would have to say, the preacher is probably a servant, but it's a little more difficult, a little different than that. So you think about this. One who serves with hands is a servant. Yeah. Or this in the New Testament, of the officers and attendants of magistrates, as of the officer who executes penalties. Yeah, could be. but the one who attends the king. Yeah, that would be Christians in general, right? Or of one who is ministering or rendering a service. Well, question, is preaching rendering a service? Yeah, it definitely is, right? You're rendering a service to even the church, right? You're serving the church in that you are proclaiming to them good news or to the visitors. You're proclaiming, you're serving by serving Christ. And we would say we're ministering to them. And what we mean by that is we're literally just serving people. And it's not necessarily the food, the drink, the clothes, all that stuff. Yes, that is one way to minister to people. But there are many other, and you'll hear this term, ministries out there. Like, yeah, you can serve in different ways, in different capacities. And guess one of those ways in which the Bible talks about people serving is as a minister of the gospel. And so you can even see that as the very last one. So let's look at a couple things here. Let's look at a couple of those. We'll flip down to, you'll see how, notice officers, and the officers received him. And you'll see the officers again of the Jews in John chapter 7 when they came to arrest Jesus. They were not the ones in power, but they were the ones who were sent by those in power. They were ministering to the ones that were in charge, but they were just kind of police officers in that sense. So then you go to chapter 5, verse 22. The officers who came did not find them. Again, sent on behalf of the rulers, okay? But now you get to chapter 13, and this is one where you're going to be like, huh? So you got John Mark, you got Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, and they've got John Mark helping them in Cyprus. And so you'll see here in verse 13 that when they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John Mark as their, this translation says, helper. Some of your translations will say servant or serving them. You can literally say minister there. He was their minister. And notice what they were doing. They were proclaiming the word of God. They were preaching, and he was there ministering, helping. Well, how was he ministering, helping? The text doesn't tell us, but yet that is exactly what he is doing. He is helping them be able to proclaim the word of God. So then you'll see in chapter 26 and verse 16, when Paul is talking about himself, he says, "But I was told, get up, stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you've seen, but also to the things which I will appear to you." Well, how was being a witness and a minister in the same thing? Guess what he was going to have to go and tell everybody? This Jesus, who I used to persecute and who I used to persecute the people that followed him, he's the one who raised from the dead. And he was going to go about, and so I'm now going to serve him. And he did that in a lot of different ways. He served Jesus by proclaiming the message. He served Jesus by obeying Jesus. He served Jesus. He ministered to Jesus by fulfilling his role as an apostle. All these different things. And what you just have is just that someone is a true servant in this sense. And so you'd have in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, after there's been this division in the Corinthian church about some are of Paul, some are of Apollos, and some are of Cephas, Peter, and then some are of Christ, Paul says, hold on now, but do this in chapter 4 verse 1. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants or as ministers of Christ and stewards, those managers of the mysteries of God. You understand what he's saying there. You don't look at us as though we are something great or we are something good. We are just servants. That is all that we are. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Without that, he doesn't do anything, right? It's the same thing. A preacher can't go out and sow the seed if God doesn't give him that, right? He can go out and he can sow the seed all day long, plant the seed. But if God doesn't make that grow in a person, guess what's going to happen? Nothing. All we're doing is out here serving, ministering, right? And so you could say in the most loose sense, yeah, serving the brethren by preaching is being a minister in its strictest sense. Now let me show you one other thing here. Let me put in the word minister, as you can see there. Because that word is used more often, but it's not in exactly the same way. It's often the word that you would think of as a deacon, because that is literally just a person who serves, okay? And what we have is we have in the New Testament, we have qualifications for deacons, for these diakonos, or however you pronounce it, words. But you'll notice, point to a minister, but that's a different word than we have in 13 and verse 4 of Romans, for it is a minister of God. And that's the word I want to focus on, is this word, this minister of God. So let's look at our word minister. You see this word? This is the word we want to focus on. Someone who runs errands. Let me ask you a question. People oftentimes think deacons are very important. Like they are a position of some kind of authority, or like it's really good for them. When you think about someone who is sent to run errands, is that the important one or is that the less important one? That is our gopher. That is our unpaid intern, isn't it? That's what deacons are. It is not some grandiose miniature elder, miniature pastor. It is someone who is running the errands of the church. Do you understand that? In its most strict sense. So you can go down, you can see a lot of different things. But one of the things I definitely want to point out is at the end of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Tychicus, my beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make known to you everything. It seems as though this might be a type of phrase like evangelist, but it could just be someone who is ministering, because remember what Tychicus is going to do? Tychicus is going to bring the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians and to the Colossians, or to the Laodiceans. He's going to bring that letter, as well as the letter to the Colossians. So you'll notice that word for ministers is to the elders, the overseers, our pastors, and deacons of the church in Philippi. And so you can just see a lot of different things, but the point that I want to make there is that I, Paul, was made a minister, Colossians 1:23. It seems as though it is a term that can be used for the preacher, but it is not the most obvious term, and it is a term that you have to explain a little more. Like, what do you mean that he's the minister? You understand? Is Wes the youth minister? Is he the associate minister? You understand that those questions come in when you use that term a little more, is that yes, it is biblically a preacher, or can be biblically a preacher. But it is not obvious right off the bat when you say that someone is a minister of even the church at East Orange, that they are the preacher. It could be someone who is just serving in a various capacity. So that's that. So I leave minister up on the board, but it is my least favorite of the terms that anyone ever calls me, because it's one of those that has to have some understanding and explanation behind it. Now, reverend. Anybody jumping on reverend? Okay, I got a couple on reverend. Let's check out reverend. Word reverend is interesting. Seems to be the word of the day. All. Reverence, right? Corey Song, awful. This is a word that is just means afraid, to be feared. It is the one to be feared. And you only have the phrase reverend used one time. You can go through every single one of these and you will not see the phrase reverend, period. You'll just see fear, 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 fear. Afraid, fear, fear. You get my drift here. But the one place where the phrase reverend is used in the King James, and I think only the King James, is in Psalm 111. So if you flip to Psalm 111, You'll see in verse 9, I believe it is Psalm 111 and verse 9. Yes, verse 9 there. Is that this phrase? He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Now, do I need to click on Psalm 111 and verse 9 to show you who that is? Who's got a covenant? Who is holy and who is to be feared? That's only God, isn't it? I ain't no reverend. Michael ain't no reverend. We might be awesome. In fact, I know I am. And I think Michael can be. But we are not, in this sense, set apart and to be feared. If you're afraid of me and Michael, you got the wrong impression about what we're doing. You shouldn't be afraid of us. You should be afraid of the message in which we are proclaiming. As we are trying to be proclaimers, gospelizers of the message of the King. Anyone that does that, you go back, they're not holy. They're not to be awed. They're just out there preaching the thing. They're just out there giving the message. That's going to be important when we compare and we think about, well, what does a preacher do when there are elders? I'll just go ahead and tell you the answer to that. Preach. Like, it's not rocket science when you actually understand what these terms mean and where they're coming from. What the problem is that oftentimes the world doesn't know. We don't know, or we forget, and we start getting all kind of mixed up, and we're using things and phrases that just become religious phrases that we just hear and we say, and we don't know where they come from or what they mean. And the next thing you know, we got old Pastor Michael White, or Pastor, and again, this cracks me up every time we read the mail. Mail comes in. I am West Gossett. Nowhere in the earth have I ever put a T after my name. But yet, when we get documentation from the city of East Orange, guess who it is addressed to? Reverend Michael White and West Gossett. I don't even know who either of those people are, because that's not us. But you understand the point. We're just proclaimers. We are nothing special. Yes, we have been given by God in the sense of Ephesians 4:11 to equip the body till we all grow to maintain. But we are not to be feared. We are not the ones leading this church. And we can argue that in just 2 weeks. Are we okay with that? All right. Again, that was a little different than normal, not your standard old 3-point sermon. But lo and behold, we come away with 3 terms. So ain't that something? Maybe tonight you're ready to be baptized into Christ. You're ready to have your sins washed away because the preacher proclaimed the good news that you can be forgiven of your sins. And you're ready to do that. Why don't you come now, or if you need the prayers of the congregation, why don't you come now as we stand and as we sing.